1 in Ezra, Ezra chapter 3 and verse number 11. It's good to see you in church here this morning, and I trust, as I said, that you had a great Thanksgiving and that you are glad to be in church here on this Sunday morning. I couldn't let today go by without preaching another message here in honor of what we just celebrated here. My message this morning is entitled Thanks and Giving. You notice it's a compound word. There's thanks, but there's also giving. Okay, this morning, notice, and we'll read first of all from Ezra chapter 3, and then I've got several other verses this morning. I've got five actually this morning to begin with. You'll notice all of them have that word or those words. Notice in Ezra 3:11. And they sang together by course in praising, and here it is, and giving thanks unto the Lord. I'm not going to finish the verse there, but just simply in Ephesians 5 and verse number 20, we are told, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1 and verse number 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Colossians 3 and verse 17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And then Hebrews 13 and verse number 15 says, by Him, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. You know, stop and think about this year and just what we are experiencing at this time. 2021 is becoming known as the year in which we are experiencing shortages? That's true. You know, supply chain issues. There have been cargo ships that have not been unloaded and trucks that have not delivered and orders that have not been processed. You know, there was even talk, and I found this very interesting and ironic, that they were talking about this even affecting our Thanksgiving meal. A couple of weeks ago, there was really an outcry, you know, that we might even have short. Now, I just simply want to just say, you can mess with the cranberries, but don't mess with my turkey. And my mashed potatoes and gravy. No, actually, I'll even eat the cranberries. But the truth is, you know, just stop and think about that at Thanksgiving, that there were, at least talk of there being shortages. Can I tell you the truth? The truth is, I think we have taken a lot for granted. I think we have taken for granted things like health and jobs and freedoms and people. But we even took for granted, even, you know, I think it, by the way, even points out that there'd even be talks of shortages of different, at least different sizes of turkeys or different ones that you might want. You know, we become complacent. And shame on us for getting to the point where we have to have shortages to cause us to realize what we have. Aren't you glad, by the way, that God is not affected by shortages? You know, I thought about this. Prayer. You realize that when we pray to God, God doesn't say, hold it, I'm sorry, but I've got a supply chain problem. I can't get the answer to you. I can't provide for you. I can't be there like you want me to. I've got some issues. Aren't you glad, by the way, God is not affected by the things that we get affected by? Our God is reliable. He's faithful. He's just. He's always there. He always loves. Now, which brings me to here the topic of this morning, which is I want to explain to you that there's a difference between two key words. The words are thankfulness and thanksgiving. Did you know that those are not synonymous? They have distinctions. Now, both of them are nouns, however, one is an attitude while the other is an action. One can be internalized. You can just keep it to yourself. But the other one has to come out. One of them, it thinks it, but the other one says it. Gives thanks. You know, I've got a couple of pet peeves that oftentimes we say that we are having Thanksgiving, but we are really not. And I'll tell you what my pet peeves are. Now, number one, being thankful to everyone but God. Now, can I just simply say, when we have testimonies, and testimony times, and I encourage us, by the way, to do so. We'll probably even do some here tonight again. But when we have testimony time, there's no problem, by the way, saying I'm thankful for, and I'll just make up names for, you know, Sister Susie and Brother Jim, or, you know, whatever you want to, and I'm making up names here just simply to illustrate, but there's no problem with you being thankful for people, but don't forget to start out with, I thank God. You see, without God, none of it is possible. Without God, it doesn't mean anything. Without God, it is meaningless, it is fruitless. Therefore, one of my pet peeves is, if we're really going to have Thanksgiving, let's not forget to include God. And include Him all the time. It is important that we not exclude God. But can I tell you the second pet peeve? The second pet peeve is not saying thanks. Thanksgiving requires saying it. Now, I know, by the way, God can read minds. And, you know, I know many people, they think, well, you know, God knows it, so why do I have to say it? Yes, you are commanded to say it. Psalm 92 and verse number 1 says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Thanksgiving to God is the same as praise. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 150. The 150th Psalm, I love this Psalm. As you come to the end of the book of Psalms, it's interesting that we have the final Psalms. They are called Hallelujah Psalms. Why are they called that? Because every one of them, they begin with the word Hallelujah, or as it is even translated, praise the Lord. Constructively, Psalm 150 is a masterpiece for Israel. There are six verses in this psalm, and in all but one of the verses, you find the word Hallelujah or praise the Lord twice. The first verse, you find it three times. This chapter, this 150th psalm, by the way, that is the end of Psalms. It is literally the climax of the climax, a crescendo. A crescendo of praise. Notice how it ends. This is the final verse in the Psalms. Psalm 150, verse 6 says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now, obviously, the inference there is that you're supposed to use your breath. It doesn't say, let everything that has a mind praise the Lord. It says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord with that breath. And consider, by the way, Psalm 100, verse 4 says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Yes, it's good to think it, but God says, say it. Say it often, say it all the time, say it everywhere. Give thanks and bless His name. Again, we understand God can read our mind. And God is unique about that. There's nobody else that can read our minds. We can pray, by the way, silently. But can I just simply say, I also think we need to be reminded here, God doesn't mind. In fact, I think it's wise for us to make sure we also pray it out loud. You can pray silently. You can think thankful thoughts silently. But sometimes God wants to hear us say some things. He wants to hear us say it out loud and to say it often, to say it always, to say it everywhere. You know, it sort of reminds me of that famous scene from The Fiddler on the Roof. The scene of Tavia and his wife Golda, as Tavia shows up at home one day, and he shows up and he has that very, very playful, very romantic sort of scene, where he walks into the house and he just simply making conversation with his wife. He says, Golda, and he asks her the question, do you love me? And Golda, in return, she sort of rhetorically just simply throws a question back to him, do I love you? And of course, Tavia doubles down. Yes, I asked you the question, do you love me? And that's when she, of course, breaks out in this song and she sings, do I love you? Well, for 25 years, I washed your clothes, I cooked your meals, I cleaned your house, I've given you children, milked the cows after 25 years. Why talk of love now? But that wasn't enough. And so by the end of it, finally, Tavia at least gets out of her and says, then you do love me. And she says, I suppose I do. And he says, well, then I suppose I love you too. Now, that's all very cute, but I can tell you in real life, that won't fly in the clear house. If Valerie asks me the question, honey, do you love me? There's only one answer. And by the way, I want to give that answer, yes. It seems very non-committal when we are not willing to commit with our lips, with our mouth, that we love, that the one that we love. How much more is that true with God? You see, we become too reserved, too non-committal. We think it, but we do not say it. Let me just simply say, God deserves more than that. I think about the story of the 10 lepers. In Luke chapter 17, we've got the story where there were 10 who were diseased. They were outcasts and seeing Jesus afar off. The Bible says that they said to him, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And Jesus saw them. He healed them. He told them then to go and show themselves to the priest, something that was required by the law. And suddenly you have 9 lepers leaping, running away, joyous. And these healed lepers, they run away except for one that turns back to Christ. Now, can I tell you, there's a way that we sometimes teach this story that is incorrect. We say, what ingrates? There were 9 lepers that were not thankful. Actually, I don't know that we can say that. I mean, if you were to actually interview them at the time as they're leaping, as they're running, and they're running off to the priest, and probably after that, first thing, they're going to be running to their homes, and they're going to be, again, now not no longer outcasts, but in with their families and society. If you were to ask all 10 of them, are you thankful? They would have said, yes. What was the difference? Here's what the Bible says. Luke 17, verses 15 and 16 tells us about that one, what he did that the others did not. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, notice this, and with a loud voice, glorified God and fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. Undoubtedly, all 10 of them, they thought thankful thoughts. Undoubtedly, they were thankful silently. Undoubtedly, they were thankful in their hearts, in their minds. They had thankful thoughts. They had that thankfulness. But only one of them engaged in thanksgiving. By the way, can I just simply say that I've seen some of you at ball games, and I've seen you, by the way, I've seen you rooting for teams. I've seen you when your team makes a big play, and I've seen you all of a sudden, you become very praiseworthy. You all of a sudden, you know how to cheer. You know how to open your mouth. You stoic Minnesotans have suddenly become Bapticostals. All of a sudden, in one moment, all of a sudden, you cheer, you jump on the couch, you jump up for joy. Why can't we do the same for God? Why can't we give him glory? The truth is we can, but we just don't. Rudyard Kipling was an English author famous 100 years ago. Perhaps his most famous works were The Jungle Book and Captain's Courageous. There was a time when Rudyard Kipling was very famous. In fact, somebody had even calculated, and one reporter even brought this in front of him and said, Mr. Kipling, listen, I have researched this and found out that you are so successful that for every word that you write in print, it is worth $100. And at that point there, this reporter very foolishly pulled out a $100 bill and said, Mr. Kipling, do you have a $100 word for me right now? And Kipling, without skipping a beat, he first of all paused, but without skipping a beat, he took the $100 bill and he sent one word. You know what it was? Thanks. Thanks. That was his $100 word. He got $100 for it. You know, listen, that word, though, to God, it is beyond comprehension, valuable to him. You know, what I want to do is I want to challenge us this week. I know that Thanksgiving is over as a holiday. I know that we are now into Black Friday and Cyber Monday, and we'll be into shopping, and Christmas is on the horizon. But listen, I happen to think that we should not forget to say thanks to our God continually. I want to challenge you this next week to say it often, to say it everywhere, multiple times a day. I want you to say it so many times that you realize that you are constantly saying it. I want to challenge you to say it verbally, to say it out loud, to say it publicly. I want to encourage you to say it in front of your family. I want to encourage you to say it in front of your friends. I want to encourage some of you, by the way, to say it at work. That'll get a rise. Maybe not a salary increase, but a rise out of some. But listen, why should we give thanks? Several reasons this morning. Number one, we need to give thanks because, number one, God needs to hear it. God needs to hear it. Why? Because He's worthy. Last week we looked at the prophet Daniel, who late in his life was presented with a dilemma. Knowing that a trap had been set, knowing that if he went ahead with what he was about to do to pray, that he would land himself in the lion's den. Daniel faced the difficult choice, either pray and end up in the lion's den, or don't pray and live another day. He could have said, by the way, I'll just wait 30 days. God's going to forgive that. God's okay with if I don't pray for 30 days. God's okay. But Daniel decided to pray, but not only did he pray, but I want to read this from Daniel 6 and verse 10. I don't know if you heard it last week, but the Bible says not only did he pray, but he gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Listen, God is worthy. He always has been. He always will be. Why? Because he is God. Psalm 113 verse 3 says, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Can you recall, by the way, a time that God has never come through for you? Can you recall a time that God, again, one of the things, you know, as we get older, as I get older, celebrating Thanksgiving after Thanksgiving, every year, and every year is another stacked year of God has blessed. Can you recall a time that God has never come through? Can you recall a time that God has not been good? Here's what the Bible says, Psalm 107 and verse number 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. I think about the man Job, who famously was first blessed, then tested. God allowed everything in his life to be systematically taken away from him, everything removed except for his life. Remember, by the way, that God showed that he was ultimately in control. He said, Satan, you can touch a lot of things, but you cannot take his life. And Job lost all his possessions. He lost all his children. He lost his health, his fame, his family. They turned on him, friends. They began to turn on him until finally Job is left all alone. His wife even said, just curse God and die. And Job might have been thinking a thankfulness in his heart. But you know what the Bible says, Job 1:21? Here's the words out of his mouth. He said, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Job 2 and verse number 10, by the way, as far as we know, only said in the presence of his wife, one person. But what did Job say? What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? Basically, he said, God is still good, and no matter what's taken away from me, it hasn't changed a single thing. Nothing has changed. God is still worthy. He's still all-knowing. He's still omnipotent. He's still omnipresent. God is still holy. He's still faithful. He is still there all the time. I can rely on him. God is still good. Job said, listen, nothing has changed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job did that with his lips. The Bible says in Job 2:10, in all this did not Job sin with his lips. He didn't just think it. He said it. He said it publicly. He said it more than once. He said it and said it again. You know, I think back to that first Thanksgiving. That really is the reason why we celebrate, or at least we should be taught or teaching our children the reasons why to be not only thankful, but giving thanks. That first, and again, we don't call it the first thankfulness. We call it the first thanksgiving. Why is that? You see, that first Thanksgiving a year after the pilgrims arrived was actually a celebration. They had games, they had riddles, they had contests, they had foods. Now, by the way, not foods like ours, no turkey. You know what they had? They had eel and lobster and onions and beans and lettuce and spinach and cabbage and carrots and peas. But you know what they did? Central to their celebration was worship and praise. They met for church. They read the Bible. They preached. They prayed. They publicly announced. And by the way, this was less than a year after they had arrived when half of them died in that first winter. You see, why? Why should we give thanks? Because God is worthy. Because He deserves it. Because God is God. Because His name is to be praised. Because God is God. Why should we say it? We should say it because God needs to hear it. But secondly, let me add that I need to hear it. I need to hear me say it. My speaking affects my spirit. It leads my spirit. Praise is catchy to me. When our kids were growing up, one of the first verses that we taught them was Philippians 2 and verse 14. I can still remember Jonathan saying this verse, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." If you read the Exodus story in Exodus 16, the children of Israel are only a month past the Red Sea experience. And what happens? It's almost like a family not even out of the driveway and on their vacation and not even out of the driveway, and all of a sudden there's a bad spirit. They murmur and complain. You know, I used to think that people complain because they had a lot of problems, and I've changed my mind, and I simply say this morning that people have a lot of problems because they complain. We are pathetic. We complain. We are so blessed, but we still find something to complain about. We are no different than the children of Israel. We are no different from those that God had redeemed and bought and brought to be a people special to Him. Now listen, I'm simply saying that we have a choice. We can either murmur or complain, or we can give thanks. Murmuring and complaining opens your mouth too. Just what are you going to open your mouth and say? By the way, can I just simply testify this morning, and I say this as your pastor here for on behalf of Valerie and I, and just share some news with you to testify. And it has to do with our son Jonathan. That Jonathan, we have known this here for a couple of weeks, but just recently a little church in Michigan called Jonathan Clear to be their pastor. And our son Jonathan, after years and years of working for that steel company in Illinois, he has decided to resign and become a pastor of a little church. And he and Lacey and the girls have moved, and they're now starting next Sunday morning. There are going to be two Pastor Clears in this world. Yeah, I don't know whether to rejoice or weep, but I'll tell you what, that is something to be thankful for. And I just wanted to testify this morning. I'm so glad that we taught Jonathan, do all things without murmurings and disputings. And I encourage you, by the way, pray for them. You know, again, we need to realize here what we have been given. You and I, we need to hear ourselves say it. I love, by the way, and I've told you the story about the famous Christian preacher by the name of Billy Bray. Billy Bray was a Cornish preacher. He was saved, led into revival, but he was emotional. I mean, he was not passive in everything. In fact, he never stopped praising God publicly. In fact, somebody, you know, said, "Billy Bray, you're always smiling. You're always saying, you know, these things. Why do you say it?" He says, "I can't help it." He said, "I got saved." And by the way, he got saved out of a wicked life. So much so that Billy Bray said, "I can't help it. When I put one foot down, it says, hallelujah." He said, "When I put the other foot down, it says, praise the Lord." He used to just walk around just saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord all the time. I wonder, why can't we at least get a smidgen of Billy Bray in us? Why can't we verbally say it? You know, when we lead ourselves with our mouth, this is so true. What you talk, some people might think this is strange, but I like to sing. I like to even sometimes just even rhetorically hear talk to myself. Now, don't think, by the way, that you need to give me a cognitive test. Oftentimes, I do this for instructions. And sometimes I say what I am intending me to do. I order myself. You know, that's why praising is so important to me. That's why praising is so important to you. Why should we give thanks? First of all, because God needs to hear it. Secondly, because we need to hear it. But let me give you the third and final point. And that is because one other person needs to hear it. Who's that other person? The devil. The devil needs to hear it. One reason why we ought to say it with our lips is the devil. You know, a couple of minutes ago, I acknowledged this point to you, and I pointed out that in Scripture, and this is theologically correct, that only God knows our hearts. Only God can read our mind. In fact, you've got that taught, for instance, when Solomon dedicated the temple. When Solomon dedicated the temple, he said, "Thou, O Lord, knowest the hearts, Thou only." That's what he said. David said, "Search me, O God, and know my thoughts, know my heart." He said, "Search me." The devil is thankfully not like God. He's not like God in a lot of ways. For instance, God is omnipresent. Do you realize this? The devil has to pick one geographic place. That's why when you even read about Satan in the beginning of the book of Job, the Bible says that God says, "Where have you been?" What did Satan say? "I've been going to and fro." You know, if Satan were to have turned around and asked God that same question, "God, where you been?" God could have said the answer, "Everywhere." At the same time, if you were to ask Satan, "What do you know?" Did you know that Satan only knows God? Satan doesn't know your heart, so he doesn't know what you're thinking. So all he can know is what he hears. Therefore, I will tell you, I want Satan to hear something that makes him cringe. I want the devil to hear something that makes him cry. I want the devil to hear, and by the way, you find this is true. Find any time in the Bible where Jesus encountered demon-possessed people, they cringed when they heard that name. By the way, they bowed at that name. They were in submission to that name. I want the devil to hear that name all the time. And I want him to hear praise to my Jesus. I want him to hear praise. I close with this biblical illustration, the triumphal entry. The week before the crucifixion was momentous, but especially that week before, when on that Sunday morning, Jesus entered Jerusalem riding on a donkey, and the people held palm branches. They laid down their clothes. They were, in a sense, welcoming him as the King of the Jews. At the time when Jesus came to the city, there was shouting and there was praising. They said, "Hosanna to the Son of David." The Bible tells us that Jesus especially noticed the little children, the little kids, as those little children were, and by the way, you can just imagine, because one of the things, as I preached recently, about just simply what we can learn from the little children. But they were so pure, they were so precious, they were uncomplicated. They loved Jesus and they said it with their lips. At the same time, there were the religious leaders. Those leaders that were leaders of the temple and leaders of the Jews, they were mad. And they even cajoled Jesus and they said, "Tell these children to be quiet, to be silent." Do you recall what Jesus said? He said, "If these were to hold their peace, even the rocks would cry out." It's one of the most mind-boggling lessons I have ever learned. Brother Gary, you've been to Israel as well. And those of you that have been to Israel know that in Israel, there's probably more rocks than any other place. You know what Jesus was in essence saying here? He was saying, "Listen, we need to. This needs to be said more. That there needs to be more praise. There needs to be more public giving of thanks. Again, I don't want for one second here, I don't have any love or respect for the devil, but I do love and respect my Jesus. And therefore, I want the devil to hear it. I want the devil, by the way, to know which side I'm on. And I want the old devil, I want him to hear many times over that name that is above all names, that name that at one time, the Bible says, one day every knee will bow to and every tongue will confess. Every tongue will confess. Again, I know some of you, you're very stoic, you're Bud Grantish-like. You know, the former coach of the Minnesota Vikings that just never changed expressions. But I want to encourage you here to start giving thanks. And this next week, let's give thanks. Why? Three reasons. Number one, we need to give thanks because God needs to hear it. God is worthy. Secondly, because we need to hear ourselves say it. But third, because the devil needs to hear it. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Thanks and giving. It's actually we have made it one word, but it is made up of two parts. And I wonder if maybe we haven't majored on the thanks in our heart, thankfulness. But now let's take it a step further. Let's give thanks. If we truly are thanksgiving, then it's not just simply something that we keep to ourselves and keep in our minds and keep in our hearts, but it's something that leaks out. And God needs to hear it, and you need to hear yourself say it. And the old devil, oh, I hate him, I love Jesus, he needs to hear you say it too. In just a moment, Valerie's going to play. Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you've never trusted Christ as Savior. Today would be a great day to trust Him. I'd encourage you, if you're not saved, if you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, in just a moment, as soon as she plays, why don't you step out and come to the front? We'd love to have somebody show you from the Bible how you could now praise the Lord because you could say, He's now my Savior. But for those of you that are saved this morning, have you been praising Him? The Hallelujah Psalm ends with, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. You've got breath. What's your breath been used for? What have you used the breath that you breathe? What has it been used for? This morning, I encourage us to give thanks, to give it often, to give it everywhere. Let others hear. Let ourselves hear. Let God hear, because God is good, and He's worthy of our praise. Let's all stand as Valerie plays.